Good morning, Elias. It's good to talk to you.
And you also, and how are you proceeding?
Well, to right now, I'm doing very well. I'm surrounded by 150 pounds of furry puppiness, snoozing furry puppiness. So the world always seems better when they're nearby. They have really, really sweet energy.
Like to engage this day.
Well, I've written so many notes and changed my mind so many times, but I think the broader context is that I've struggled a lot in the last year and a half with some really dark moments, but I feel like I'm finally returning to myself. I'm feeling comfortable in my body, kind of feeling it more as a part of a bigger whole. And I'm feeling more ease. I still have fear at times about my job coming to an end towards the end of February and losing my insurance. And feeling some constraint and loss of sleep at times, but like I say, I feel like I'm on a forward path, and I was wondering, and certainly you can redirect, but I was wondering if it might be helpful to discuss what is natural for me in this new phase in my life. Or maybe talk about some inspirations I feel and questions about next steps. Or I guess I'm thinking that it might be okay not to focus on my body for this session.
Very well. And I would express that we can engage all of those subjects.
Okay.
Would you like to begin with?
I've had this sense in terms of what's natural for me in this next phase. I've had a sense that in some ways I want a simple life, generally speaking. I have this draw, I think, being a homebody, sort of to the home and hearth thing. But I also feel inspired about the notion of Goddess Acres and sustainability, especially in light of climate change, and learning new skills that might fit with that. That maybe that's more so a passion for me than something that is so deep, like for Brendan Robert with their boat and Odie with sailing. I like to be out in the yard. I call it gardening, but it's not as much food based yet. So I like beautifying and being out puttering in the yard. I have liked learning how to do things like making pasta, making cheese. I used to enjoy entertaining, and that's not something that I do much at Goddess Acres, but when we do do it, I really enjoy that And I like writing about, I like writing about and sharing those things, but it's thin, other than blogging about cooking. And I like just being here.
You don't have to limit your writing to only cooking.
Yeah, I know, and I think I have thoughts.
Write about anything. You can write about everything that is interesting to you, or that you are engaging, and that is fun for you. You can write about anything.
And I've had that inclination, including, you know, broadening it to travel, and I haven't followed through on the impulse.
Very well. Now, let me also express to you that the reason I asked the question about what do you do there and what do you like to do there is because that is an easy direction to start.
Okay.
When you are thinking about all of the actions, all the things that you want to do there at Goddess Acres, that can become overwhelming and it can become confusing because you can move in a direction in which you don't know where to begin, and therefore you don't begin. You merely continue to think about it.
Right. Yes, and identify obstacles.
In that, what can be an easy direction to begin is with what you already do. Now, you were expressing that you like gardening, and in that you qualified and said that I'm not actually doing that with food yet. You don't have to be. I understand that that may be a direction that you want to engage, but you can begin with what you are already doing. Therefore, let us say that you enjoy gardening and that the type of gardening that you are doing is with different plants and flowers, and that you enjoy, as you express, beautifying the area, the yard. Now, in that, there are several directions that you can engage. One, you can move in a direction of growing certain types of plants or certain types of flowers and cultivating that in a manner in which you can be engaging that type of action to show or even to sell if you were so inclined. But, or you could be moving in a direction of engaging with your plants and flowers and trees in a direction of landscaping. Therefore, using your creativity to generate a beautiful array of different plant life and flowers in a very aesthetic and pleasing doing what you are already doing and what you already enjoy doing. And that can expand as you do it. As you engage it, you can also expand that in giving yourself inspirations and following them. Now, what would you express are some of the inspirations that you have already given yourself?
In terms of Goddess Acres or more, or overall?
Anything.
Well, I know, because it's interesting to extrapolate what you've said to another area. And in terms of the paid work that I'm doing, I've been surprised to find that I feel a bubbling inspiration to work with students in a very different direction than, well, a somewhat different direction than before. In terms of advising or coaching, mentoring students that have or are likely to fall between the cracks. And I've also felt at the same time an interest in data visualization that kind of combines my analytical bent with my visual creativity and liking to write or convey a narrative. I don't know if that fits with what we're talking about.
Yes. Excellent. And have you been actually beginning to engage in that direction?
Well, I on impulse, I signed up for an Excel class that I've just started that I really like with the data visualization. I find that in the admissions work, the reading and the application decisions that I'm doing, that I'm really enjoying the narrative component of the evaluation, that sort of a holistic assessment type thing. And I've started writing a new resume and letters that sort of write my own narrative and pulling these pieces and inspirations together. So I've taken some first steps.
Creativity and your inspiration in relation to what type of first direction you would engage?
In the sense of I'm starting to have bubble up in my awareness some different organizations that I think do the kinds of service or the types of things I'm interested in. And as I'm writing the different narratives and resumes, you know, I'm starting to piece together what I want to do that's inspired by what they do, but without actually having a very specific job in mind. And my impulse has been, rather than just applying for jobs, that this time my approach might be to actually send out letters introducing myself and thinking about the option of that creating a job for me rather than trying to fit me into a posted job.
Very encouraging of that.
Well, it is a very different approach for me, but every time I have the time and I go and work on a piece, because it is just pieces coming together right now, I feel inspired, and I don't feel that, but wait, here's this constraint, because I can't do this, this, and this they're looking for. And so it seems to be a way to shortcut, keep that piece out, and the focus rather on here's what I do, and here's what inspires me, and here's what I have to offer. I don't bump into as many constraints that way.
Excellent. I would be tremendously acknowledging you and encouraging you in that direction.
It feels good, but I have to admit, I'm assuming it's part of my sleep problems, that there's still, you know, there's still this underlying, maybe not even objectively aware, churning that goes on, because it is so unfamiliar and somewhat uncomfortable. I think what it is that I can maintain that inspiration and momentum for a while, and maybe a growing amount of time, but there's something about the reality of night in which that's the time in which the doubt or the fear seems to come in. And if I wake, and even if I'm not objectively thinking, I can feel the adrenaline in my body, I can feel the pressure in my body, even without a thought process going on. Eventually, when I get up and have coffee, I can talk myself back in to a better place. But there seems to be a bit of that cycle that happens.
Now that is your example of holding energy and doubting yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Questioning yourself.
Right.
And you are holding energy. Now, in that, what I would say to you is that there are other actions that you can engage that might be more effective.
Okay.
Merely talking yourself into a different direction.
Okay. And I will... Yes. Yeah. It is a cycle. And I will admit that I took my first actual in-person Qigong class with somebody else, not just a video. And I slept deeply that night after the hour. And I do that when on the weekends when I'm with Odie. But you're saying that vibration or that adrenaline rush, whatever it is, that pulsing energy that I'm feeling in my body is the physical sensation of held energy?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
In that, it is a matter of changing what you do.
Okay.
Because it is very easy to move in those directions of holding energy because you continue to do the same actions. Changing what you do is moving in a direction in which you give yourself much less time thinking.
Oops. And I think
the reason that you slept well when you engaged the interaction with the other individual, because what you changed, what you did different, was you weren't in your head, were engaging with someone else.
Right.
Now, what I would say to you is, you don't think about it in the capacity of analyzing or realizing what you are doing in certain situations, such as with that Qigong discipline and engaging in the action, but doing it with a video rather than with another person.
Right.
Don't necessarily think about the difference, but there is a significant difference, because doing it with a video doesn't distract your attention away from thinking.
No, and layered on top of that, not only thinking, I'm thinking about learning to teach it rather than being in the experience itself.
Precisely.
Yes.
Is part of that action of thinking. It doesn't matter what you are thinking about, the factor is that you are thinking.
Yes. Yes.
When you are engaging with another individual, you actually think much less.
Right.
Because you are narrowly paying attention to whatever the interaction is, or what the other individual is saying, or what the other individual... Similarly, that occurs when you are engaging other beings, such as your creature. When you are actually engaged with another being.
Yes, I can see that.
Your attention moves differently. In this, it is a matter of changing what you do to alter that expression of thinking, and when you are thinking. Therefore, I would say that the first piece is catching yourself when you are thinking, which I understand that sounds very simple, but it can be challenging because you are so accustomed to doing it that you don't actually notice.
Well, and not only do I do it subconsciously, it's like I deliberately set up times to just sit and think, because I think that is centering me. So I sit and have coffee for an hour. Disagree that I do that or that.
Disagree that it is centering.
Yeah. But it's, I think what it is my, I believe it's a process for sorting out all of the things that are going on in my head, and that gives me the freedom to move forward into my day. And it takes away time that I could do Qigong, or I could engage in something else.
Precisely. And by actually setting aside specific time to be thinking, you are actually reinforcing that action. You are not only sanctioning it, but you are actually encouraging it.
Yes.
In this, what I would express to you is to not doing, and actually engage doing something different. And when you do something different, for you specifically, I would say do something that you consider to be productive. Now, productive could be doing something with the dog, or it could be sewing, or it could be gardening, but do something physical.
Okay.
Anything you do physical, you generate an association with is in being productive.
Okay.
Thinking isn't.
Okay.
Now, in that also, it is also a matter of reconditioning yourself at certain times, such as in the evening before you go to bed, or in the morning when you awaken, or at any other time of the day that you are aware of that has become consistent, in which your thinking action is more prevalent. Generally speaking, nighttime is a notorious time for most people to be thinking, especially before they go to bed. It is quieter, there's less activity occurring, there's less distractions, and you are much more likely at that time to actually be thinking about your day, about what you want to do, about what you haven't done, about what you can't do, what has been introduced into your life at this point, what you like, what you don't like, what you're dissatisfied with. It goes on and on and on, because your thought mechanism at that point of the day is unmonitored. It is unleashed to run rampant, which creates a difficult and not healthy situation in which it somewhat exhausts you but doesn't allow you to sleep.
Right. Yep, that's it exactly.
Or you sleep very uneasily. Your sleep can be easily interrupted. You sleep in a restless manner. You don't sleep as long.
Right.
And in that, you awaken in the morning and you are tired, or you are agitated, or you create physical symptoms and generate a headache or some other physical manifestation. And this, it is a matter of restructuring those parts of your day to be expressed in different manners, such as in the evening when you begin thinking and you are thinking, 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 and you can't stop it. That even when you notice and you tell yourself, stop thinking, you think more. Do something different. Telling yourself to stop thinking merely encourages you to think more. Therefore, don't do that. Move in a different direction. Give yourself, first of all, as I have expressed previously, permission to tell your thought process as if it is its own entity, that it can do all this thinking at a different time, but not now. Then engage different actions. If you are preparing yourself for bed, you can read, or you can do visualizations. You can actually generate somewhat of a game with yourself. You can close your eyes and concentrate your attention on what is happening in the black behind your eyelids, because it isn't simply solid black. You think it is, but if you actually pay attention, it isn't. And in that, you can concentrate on what is happening in the black behind your eyelids and watch that. And while you are watching that, concentrate on actually focusing on different parts of your body and intentionally relaxing them, moving them first, different capacities, and then generating a concentration on intentionally relaxing those areas of your body. And whenever your thinking begins again, and thinking about the dog, or you are thinking about some area in the house, or did you do this, or tomorrow you have to do that, as soon as you begin to be thinking again, redirect. Go back to relaxing a particular area of your body. Check it again. You relaxed it before. Is it still relaxed, or have you tensed it now because you began thinking? Which is likely the situation. In that, it is a matter of reconditioning and retraining yourself in relation to what you are paying attention to. That is the piece. It is training your attention and allowing yourself to direct your attention intentionally, rather than allowing your attention to simply move in whatever direction happens to occur. But being more intentional and directing of your attention, which you will discover that, especially at nighttime before you go to bed, that if you are engaging this type of action, it actually will be more relaxing and you will have the ability to drift into sleep more easily and remain sleeping and not be generating that restlessness.
All right, I'm understanding.
It's important for you to do that within the daytime also, not merely before you go to bed, because that will help you to be directing yourself in action rather than in thinking. Because the thinking overrides, and it actually, in many situations, prevents the action. You become caught in the thinking, and you stop doing.
Yes, I can see that.
Or you begin to be caught in the thinking, and whatever you are doing, you discount and you don't credit yourself with that you actually are doing something. You more move in the direction of the thinking is jumping ahead of you, and about whatever you want to do or think you should do or are supposed to do or how you could be doing something differently or evaluating, and in all of that time, even if you are actually doing something, such as gardening, rather than crediting yourself with that doing and that is actually accomplishing something, you're more likely to discount that and express that it isn't enough. It is merely time filling. It isn't actually accomplishing anything. It isn't enough. Which is not true.
It makes for rather a lot of complications.
I would say that it encourages you in a direction very consistent to discount yourself. To tell yourself you aren't doing enough. To reinforce to yourself that you don't have enough in any direction. And that eventually creates a perception that you aren't enough. And that becomes very difficult to battle. But that is precisely what you do with that information. You battle it.
I can see that. I think the I'm not enough or not doing enough, then I think that gets confused then with some of the struggles I have with self-direction, perhaps.
How so?
I'm not sure how so. Let me see. One of the conflicts between Odie and me and our relationship is the differences in what we enjoy doing. He has this really strong pull to sailing and to boats and the ocean. I have a deeper connection to the mountains and hiking, and I like kayaking, and I like lakes, not big water. And because of the investment in the boat, we end up being pulled in his direction more so than mine. And I don't know, I have felt lately the discontent more, in part fueled by feeling more inspired maybe to camp or to build a teardrop with him. and a disconnect with the with Oriental because of the damage from the hurricane, and I have a hard time sorting it out, and it's one of those things I sit and try to sort out with my thinking, and I get in this loop that I have no idea how to self-direct or find a direction or a movement.
An excellent example, because that is actually not true.
Okay.
But is the destructive aspect of the thinking.
Okay.
Because you move in circles, and when you're thinking, it supersedes doing. And that can be destructive in relation to how you perceive yourself and what position you perceive yourself to be in. But in addition to that, it also puts you in a position, per se, in which you are expressing precisely what you did, that you are confused, that you don't know what to do. Yes, you do. You merely aren't doing it. You do know what to do. You know what you like. You know what you are drawn to. But all you are doing is thinking about it rather than doing. If you like the mountains, if you are more drawn to the land, engage it. Go and explore it. Take your dog and you go. Your thinking is directing you in a position in which you can't do what you want to do because everything you do has to be together as a couple.
Right.
And if you are doing together as a couple, then you are stuck because you have to do what he wants to do, which is be on the boat. No, you don't have to do that. And you don't have to wait, and you don't have to do everything together.
So
the questions here are, if the relationship is important to you, do you want to continue in the direction of the relationship? And if the answer to that question is yes, then it is a matter of you beginning to give yourself permission to do what you want to do, and know that you don't have to be engaging together continuously. Let me express to you, there are many relationships in which the participating individuals don't necessarily share the same main interests, but the relationship actually can flourish, grow, and continue. You don't have to incorporate that as a base component that you share main interests, the other expressions that are valuable to you and important to you that continue to express a draw in why the relationship is important to you, and that is entirely acceptable. But if you don't share the same main interest, it is very important that you acknowledge that and that you give yourself permission to move in your direction and express your interests and engage them, and allow your partner to engage their interests and to express genuinely to yourself that that is acceptable, that you don't have to do everything together. That you can come together at times in directions that you agree on and that are equally important to both of you and that you mutually enjoy, but that you leave the other subjects to each other to engage and enjoy singularly. That doesn't mean it has to be black and white, that he would never be engaged with you in the mountains and you would never be engaged with him on the boat, but that your time and interaction in those capacities would naturally be much more limited. Therefore, when you do engage them, you can appreciate them. Because you don't engage them regularly.
Right.
When you move yourself in a direction in which you expect yourself to engage with the other individual's main interest, but it isn't a main interest for you, what you are doing is pushing yourself. You are also discounting yourself and putting yourself in a secondary position. And eventually, that leads you in a direction of conflict, confusion, and resentment.
Yes.
And eventually, those expressions begin to fester because you aren't maintaining the relationship any longer. You are only focused on those expressions of conflict, confusion, and resentment. And that builds and builds. And eventually that erodes the relationship itself because you aren't maintaining the relationship any longer. You aren't encouraging it, you aren't allowing it to evolve, you are ignoring it because you are paying attention to these other expressions, and eventually the relationship withers. Now, if you don't want that to occur, then it is important that you begin to establish your direction in how important it is to you. And that you can do that in other capacities than continuously with him. And you can even discover other people that you can engage that direction with other than your partner, and therefore give yourself the opportunity to be sharing with other other people your interest and your love of other directions than sailing.
Yes, and some of that is challenging. Let me say, some of what you were saying in the last part, I think it brings up, I don't know that they're guidelines, but it definitely constructs about relationships. Is that a correct assessment or description?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I agree. I would also say to you, a reminder that everything is interconnected. Therefore, if you are putting yourself in a position in which you are placing the other individual's interests above your own,
right,
are acquiescing to engaging in activities that are important to the other individual and denying your own, that also reinforces all that thinking about other subjects that you want to do and you aren't actually doing. You merely are thinking about it. It also creates a constant underlying tension that is affecting of everything in every direction. Because the tension is constantly present, it influences everything you do. How you perceive everything, what you pay attention to, it even influences your tone of voice.
Wow.
I would express you have expressed yourself an assessment and a judgment about yourself that you are not as articulate as other individuals, that you don't express yourself as well or as flowing as other individuals. And I know you do that. And in that, this is a tremendous reason why. Because you aren't placing yourself in that primary position. It doesn't mean that when you are in a primary position that other individuals are lower than you or less important or that you aren't paying attention to them. Not at all. But it means that you are paying as much attention to what is important to you as you are to them. You are expressing as much attention with yourself in what makes you happy as you are in relation to what makes them happy. I would say if you were to evaluate that point in this moment, my friend, the scale would tip very much stronger on the other side than on your side.
That was one of the insights I had on my walk in the woods yesterday when Mary and I weren't able to connect.
Ah, yeah. Excellent. And I'm not expressing that this is only about your partner. It isn't.
No,
this is
go ahead.
An automatic direction that you move in with most
follows.
Yes, and that was my assessment as well.
Therefore, this is a very significant piece. And I would say to you now, moving in the direction that you did yesterday in engaging a walk when you couldn't connect objectively, that was excellent. The only piece of that that I would alter is that when you are walking, stop thinking.
Was it emanating that loudly from my head?
Oh, yes. What I would say to you is that is another opportunity that you have to change behavior, to change what you are doing. When you are walking, engage different actions. You can actually use that time when you are walking as a walking meditation, in which you can designate a subject that you want to engage in that walking meditation when you begin your walk, and then allow yourself to actually begin the process of the meditation, such as focus your attention on a background sound. Not thinking, but focusing on a background sound, and it doesn't matter what that sound is, depending on where you are walking, it could even be the sound of traffic. It doesn't matter because it is a background sound, and that sound is designed to aid you in lulling you into a more relaxed state and not thinking. And then allow yourself to move in a direction in which you are using your sight as you are walking, obviously, but somewhat diffuse your vision. Not entirely. You hold the clarity in your vision enough to know where you are walking, to, in a manner of speaking, be safe in how you are walking. But diffusing it enough that you aren't actually clearly paying attention to your surroundings while you are walking. Or if you are in the woods, you can generate just enough clarity in your visual sense to only be paying attention to looking at trees, but not thinking about them, merely looking at them while you are walking. Or looking at all of the different colors and shapes of stones in the ground, in the dirt, on the path that you are walking. Not thinking about them, but merely noticing and fixing your visual attention on that. In that, now you are occupying two of your main outer senses, but not in a manner in which they are being used primarily. And that can allow you to focus on relaxing, breathing, and then moving into a visualization of whatever the subject was that you intended to engage.
All right. Well, that sounds like a fun exercise, and I have the intent.
I would express, and you can even simplify that and not necessarily incorporate an intention to begin with, and allow for the walking meditation to merely take you and your dog on some type of adventure.
I like that.
In which both of you are moving in some type of adventure while you are walking. In this, you are actually actively moving in a direction of altering what you are paying attention to, and therefore altering that expression of constantly thinking, and more moving in a direction of doing.
Okay, well, the timer went off, and I have much to work with. I didn't say think about, much to work with.
I noticed.
A little hesitation, but it came out right. Well, it has been great, great talking to you. And as always, I appreciate the insights and encouragement.
And I express the same to you, my friend. In tremendous encouragement to you, and in continuous support in what you are doing and your success. In love and affection, as always. Au revoir.
Thank you. Love you. Bye.